Okay, I guess I'm welcoming all the BBS listeners. This is Mary Cecil and Miss Unknown. But okay. So for those that are listening, we were just talking about a wonderful walk to Mount Shasta that Mary and her family did. But when you went there, when you say a vision quest, are they like on ley lines or something? Or
well, that's what I had intended on going, was for this vision quest. And you know, there's been so many things that have happened on Mount Shasta, and I really
like what? I'm not real familiar with.
Mount Shasta, there's a lot of people that make pilgrimages there, and there are many things they've seen, spirits, they've done different things. And I thought that, you know, okay, we went clearly from Nebraska and went clearly out there, that there would be, and then it just seemed like there was nothing that happened. But there were these people out on this, like a meadow deal or out in this, and they were just visiting. And I felt kind of strange. I felt really different. And then all at once I looked up, and there was a wasp coming in the car, so I decided, oh, I better get around and go around to the driver's side. So I went around to the driver's side, and all at once I looked up, I was looking for the wasp, and I looked up, and there was a boy, and he was playing with this fowl, like a lizard. It was big. And he, all at once I looked down again for the wasp, and there he was by my car. And he said, you want to see my dragon? And I said, what is your dragon? And I don't like things like this. And he said, would you like to hold it? And so I said, well, I kept thinking, okay, God is love. You know, okay, he's letting go of fear. Got to let go of fear. Love is letting go of fear. So I put this thing, he put the thing on my arm, and it started going up my arm. And I was afraid that it was going to go in the back of the car. And so I said, well, I said, you better take it. And he says, I said, it's going up my arm, and I'm afraid that it's going to get lost in the back seat. And he says, well, it does that sometimes, you know. And I said, well, what is your dragon? What is the name? And I meant a name. And he says, it's the blue dragon. And I didn't think anything of it, you know. And then I was looking down for the wasp, and I looked back up, and the boy was gone. And the people there were gone, too. You know, so it was pretty amazing, you know.
Now, did you ever look up to see what a blue dragon was then?
Oh, yes. I didn't know what it was, but we went to this Enlightened bookstore in Mount Shasta, and this book fell off from the top of the, on the bookshelf, you know, on the top, and it fell and it had an open page. And when I picked it up, I was going to put it back, and here it was all about the blue dragon and what the name of it was, and it had all the different things, and they were the Lemurian people. So, I mean,
hold on a moment. Let me greet this person. Positive greetings. Would you like to announce yourself?
Hi, it's Prudy in North Carolina.
Hi, Prudy. Would you like to take over?
I don't have the console.
That's okay. We're listening. Mary's telling us about a blue dragon, and Cecil was patiently listening, just like I am. But so if you don't mind, I'm very curious about what this blue dragon thing is, because she saw somebody on Mount Shasta, and this little boy showed her a blue dragon, which I don't know what a blue dragon is. It's a very fascinating story.
It goes on.
Well, okay, wait a minute. Let me greet these other people. Positive greetings. Welcome. Would you like
positive greetings back at you.
Thank you, Raiden. And who else is there?
Cleo from Connecticut.
Hi, Cleo. This is May.
Hi, May. How are you?
I haven't died yet. Thank God. Well, no.
Oh, darn.
I like being on Earth. I really do. Okay. Positive greetings. Who just came in? Would you like to announce yourself?
Hi, it's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Hi, Jane. We're talking about a blue dragon on Mary's trip to Shasta.
My gosh.
So, Mary, what did this dragon look like? Did it look like a lizard, or did it look like an alligator?
Yeah, but I went on the computer, and I couldn't find anything like it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to that bookstore, they had said that occasionally the Lemurians let their children out to see people, and that I figured that's probably what it was because they disappeared, you know. And so when he was there, you know, he had said that it was the blue dragon. But I thought, okay, it's just a kid with a fantasy, you know, and stuff, you know.
Right.
But there were a lot of incidences that it just went on. And at the Enlightened Bookstore, it gave me a lot more details.
Wow.
So was the dragon gone with the kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, the dragon was with the boy.
Mm-hmm. So it was like a pet.
Yeah, like a pet. But then I found out at the bookstore that they are actually a dragon, but they can take on any many forms. Well, then I started adding it up that wasp, what does a wasp look like?
Looks like an ant.
Looks like a
gigantic ant
with
wings. Bonnet.
Mm-hmm.
A stinger.
Or a small dragon.
No. I don't think they look like small dragons.
They can take on many forms. They, you know, they have that ability that they can do that. You know, and so I figured, okay, how is a dragon going to be there? You know, it's not going to be there, you know, where the people are.
Was it like waist high on the boy?
Wait a minute. Let me welcome you. Welcome, everybody. You'd like to announce yourself. This is May, and talking about her vision quest. But announce yourself, please. Hello.
Hi, May. This is Terry in Dallas.
Hi, Terry. Welcome.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Anyone else like to announce themselves?
As Heiss would say, only if you want to.
Yes, only if you want to. Thank you for bringing in your energy. We do appreciate it. Anyone else? Okay, well, then let's go ahead and talk about the blue-red dragon some more. What does it look like?
It was actually, it looked like a lizard, but it was huge. It was the full length of my arm.
Oh,
it was, you know, and it was walking up, and I was afraid it was going to get on my shoulder where I couldn't control, and I had control of it. I mean, it was, you know, I was just watching it walk up my arm. And for me, that I can't even handle a salamander, or a little, you know, like those little iguana, those little lizards, those little green ones. Mm-hmm. I can't even handle something like that, let alone put this on my arm, you know. So that was like
so
a miracle.
So you actually did have a vision quest then?
I think so, because the people disappeared, the boy disappeared. They all disappeared.
Let me welcome these people. Positive greetings. Welcome to the Monday call. Like to announce yourself?
It's Roger.
Did you say Roger?
Yes.
Hi, Roger. Welcome. Who else would like to announce yourself? If you want to.
Hey, it's Chris in Memphis.
Hi, Chris. Welcome.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hi, Chris.
Hello. How are you?
We were talking. Anybody know about blue dragons other than Mary?
I would like to have somebody know about it.
Okay.
Is that me? When you're not very loud, could you speak up a little louder or get on Skype?
Oh, they got this big thing.
Hello?
Okay, you're still not.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn. Welcome. Yeah, you're kind of in the back.
Is that better?
Yes.
Much better.
Okay. Where's Hives today?
It's Labor Day. Don't you think he should get a day off? My God.
Okay. I think I should get a day off.
I tried calling him.
I think I should get a day off. So I'll see you guys later.
Come back.
You don't want to hear about the blue dragon story from Mary?
Not going to say much more. We'll leave it for another time.
Okay, Mary.
I'm sorry I took so much of your time.
No, I loved it. Go ahead, Wynn.
Somebody disabled the helicopter.
What?
I said somebody disabled the helicopter so he can't go away.
Oh,
is that Cecil?
It is.
Hi, Cecil.
Hi. Is this Terry?
Yeah.
Hi, Terry. Welcome to the call.
Hi, Terry.
And Wynn, too. We've been talking about blue dragons.
Terry, you know anything about blue dragons? Terry Brown?
No.
Okay. Mary actually saw one. She was on a vision quest on Mount Shasta, and she actually saw one. She actually
hiked up to the mountain.
She had it on her arm.
Mm-hmm. It's like a dragonfly, you mean? No,
dragon.
It was a dragon. I mean, it was like a big lizard. I mean, it was huge. But I went to the computer when I got home to try to find it, and I couldn't find anything that really looked like it. It was just, but it was really big.
Huh. But she found out about it in a metaphysical bookstore that just fell out on the floor. And then when she
the Enlightened bookstore that was in Mount Shasta.
Mm-hmm.
It fell down and opened up to the Blue Dragon page.
Really? That's funny.
As scary as what it is.
No, it's wonderfully amazing. It didn't bite her at all.
It was really beautiful. I mean, it really was. It was quite an experience.
Yeah. Especially when it was gone in the blink of an eye.
Well, they just disappeared. Yeah.
Huh.
They were there and then they were gone.
Yeah.
Was there more than one of them?
There was a boy and there were some older people that were off to the side a little ways down. And when I looked up, they were all gone.
Lemurians.
The Lemurian people, right. And I wanted to know if they were part of the Ra group or, you know, with the Ra on, if they were with that group or, you know, I'm really kind of trying to get to the, you know, as much knowledge as what I can on it.
Uh-huh.
And the Mayan people, Terry, and the Peruvian people, are they all with the Ra group, do you know?
Ask it on a Wednesday.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
I don't believe so. I believe, you know, keep in mind that Ra did not have bodies in this realm. So all of those groups that had bodies could not have been Ra. Okay?
I thought Ra had the bodies that the Elohim did not have bodies, but the Ra had been through the third dimension and had bodies.
On Venus.
And they disappeared. They really,
on
I
Venus.
Mean, they had bodies, but then they didn't because they just vanished.
Yeah. Ra went through a series of incarnations and graduated this realm. So their incarnations were on Venus, okay? So they say. Now, they have done interventions in this realm. They might have done interventions in South America. I believe they did. They did interventions in Atlantis, okay?
That's what I was going to ask.
They did not have bodies, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And the only instance I know of was the one we talked about on Whole Planet Healing, and where I read that session, where they manifested what looked like bodies. They called them mist bodies. So they were visible to people, but it was not a body. It was not a flesh and blood body. Like, I don't know, if you put your hand, you might have been able to put your hand through it. It was more like a ghost body, the way they made it sound, okay? But it was visible to people, and they would walk around and they were doing healings, and they were building pyramids by levitation. But I wouldn't call it like they had bodies, okay? It was a manifestation, all right? Now, I'm probably as I am sure that I have connections to the Ra group, and I probably as close as you'll get to Ra in the third dimension. Okay.
Wynn, would you like to start the recording? The recording has not started.
Oh yeah.
No.
Okay.
I'll start in just a second. I don't know. I'll say things before the recording starts. And when I start
on VBS.
The recording... Huh?
We're on VBS.
Oh, we are?
Yes.
Okay, well, if you're listening on VBS, don't pay any attention to this.
Okay.
Disregard.
Disregard it. But in general, I don't have a problem with saying that... I have a connection to Ra, okay, in the 3D. But I don't know if I would say, you know, one of the things I've learned about these group souls, I'll record now.
This conference is being recorded.
This is... September 4th, 2017, and Wynn and Terry in Sedona, and this is our Monday night call, and we did announce yesterday, I believe. I better mute everybody. Here we go.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
That we were going to do a channeling session today. But I don't know if we're going to do what we said we're going to do, okay? We may have some questions around that. But if it happens spontaneously, it happens. But we were having a little discussion before I started the recording about the Ra group. And I believe this is about the Elohim group, too. When we try to imagine a group soul, when I try, you know, there is a certain lock that makes it hard to visualize them. Like, you know, if I'm talking to you, I can visualize, even when I don't see you, I can visualize a human. I know you're a human. And I know certain things about humans. But when we're talking to what identifies itself as a group soul, which we do all the time on these calls, we don't have any physical representation. Now, I ask them questions about what is it like to be you? I just muted a sneeze. Good work, Wynn. And even when they describe it, it's hard to visualize, okay? But in terms of asking questions, one of the answers to the questions I've asked, true for both the Ra group and the Elohim group, is both groups fan out through many dimensions. So when we're talking to the Elohim, we're most likely talking to a branch of the Elohim that fans out into another dimension, lower dimensions, but it's still the Elohim. And maybe we're talking to Grace, which seems to be Elohim in the highest dimension. And when we're talking to the Ra group, we're also talking to a group soul that fans out through a number of dimensions. There can be Ra in the fifth dimension, Ra in the fourth, Ra in the third. But because they are all connected to the law of one, they can all flow together. So we have, even though we have Ra in the fourth, fifth, and sixth, we only have one Ra in that moment, okay? In other moments, we have Ra that are separated. Somewhat like when we come into these calls. We are all different. We are all at different levels. We are at different locations. But we have the experience of coming together. And suddenly, the differentiations are less pronounced. We come together and we have a oneness. And then, in theory, from postulate, we can come together with the energies of the sources. So, what's happening is we're having a demonstration of the law of one. But it's not a scientific demonstration because there's no way we can prove that's happening. We have to go into an intuitive looking at it and saying, yes, that's the explanation. Why is it we can come onto this call and feel energy in our space, no matter where we are? Where is that energy coming from? If we ask the Elohim, they'll say, it's them. And so, in order to have energy pouring in simultaneously to different locations, then there has to be, it's not like there's one being that's doing that. Or there is one being that's doing that, that's working through lots of beings that are coming through the matrix. So the energy hits us. So, you know, we have to validate what we're saying here by the experience of how the energy feels and what they say. And if you notice myself, I can say what they say, but then on some level, I need to validate it. And I'm telling you how I validate it. Whereas this amazing experience that we are creating, where we come together and suddenly there's an energy tying us all together. And, you know, sometimes I talk about this being an epic event. And I was thinking, you know, Terry had a connection with Socrates. And I was thinking about Socrates. And probably there's other people that would fit this as well. Socrates was a rebel. He had absolutely no care. Let me mute those dings. Sorry. Okay, the dings are muted. Socrates had no care of becoming famous. He operated in the trenches. He would just leave his house every day. You know, when you start to realize these people, these are real people. These are real people. Socrates was not trying to be a famous philosopher. He didn't even write books. And he just went, hung out, talked to people all day in the cafes. And yet, he became known as one of the wisest people that ever lived. And, of course, what happened was Plato, who was one of his students, that would meet with him every day. And Plato came from a wealthy, privileged background. When Socrates finally died or was poisoned, Plato wrote up Socrates' teachings. And that's how Socrates became famous. And in a sense, and I'm not saying that we are locked into this. I'm not saying that I wouldn't be famous. I don't care about being famous at this point, mostly. But it's certainly possible. Some people think being on George Norrie is making you famous. In a certain sense, that is a certain level of fame. But, you know, we come out and we do this now every day. It's got a similarity to Socrates in the 21st century, you know, because we are being with you. We are one with you. There's no hierarchy here. You may think there is, but there isn't. I mean, when the phone hangs up and I'm by myself, I've still got lots of you in my mind. I can feel the energy of the calls. Derry certainly feels the energy of the calls. And I know how important it is to you that we're here doing this. And so will this, you know, hit the masses? I don't know. I don't know if it will or if it won't. Someday we're going to die, and it depends on you guys. Is there a Plato out there? Somebody has to find it important enough. We're leaving a legacy. We got 1,500 to 2,000 conference calls in the Spirit Channel. So that's, you know, that's kind of my view of this, and I think it fits. I don't think I'm an egomaniac to look at it that way. I just think it fits that, and I'm not doing it for that reason. Who knows why I'm doing it at this point? I'm doing it because I can see the impact of it, and I can see the service that's being created, and it's like, once you know that, once you see that, and then if you don't do it, you feel guilty, unless you go into a higher service. So, you know, guilt is the thing that keeps us somewhat in line. Also, protection. Because once you start operating at this level of hologram, putting things into the planet, you attract the attention of negative forces. And we've talked about that sometimes, some of the things that have happened that would be negative attacks. And one of the things that keeps protection is, it's like once you hit a certain speed, you have to keep that speed, because maybe it would be like the negative can see you speeding, but they can't catch you until you slow down. That's a good line. Okay. The negative can see the speed, but as long as you're speeding, you're one step ahead of them. But as soon as you stop speeding, in other words, you let it down, you start falling backwards, and they have the potential to grab you. That may be an important principle for some of you, because the negative will attempt to create fear of doing things. And every time you get into the speed mode, they will create fear to make you fall backwards, and then they'll attack you. And you say, see, I better be careful, because I'll get attacked if I do that. You know, you're not getting attacked because you're doing it. You're getting attacked because you're doing it and falling backwards, and then you get attacked. I have a question about that tonight. Terry, is that an interesting idea?
Yeah. Hello?
Are you there?
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Okay.
Is that an interesting idea?
Could you summarize it in one sentence?
No.
Okay.
Are you sleeping?
I recall it was a good idea, but it wasn't.
You forgot.
Well thought of what it was.
Are you sleeping? You're not sleeping, are you? Hello?
No, I'm awake. Hello? Hello?
Okay. All right. So, let's go into session mode, okay?
Okay.
Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of light. Surround and protect Terry, myself, and everyone on this line. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are here with you this fourth day of September 2017. And we are here to assist. If we ever say anything that does not resonate, then disregard it, as it is not meant for you. Sometimes when someone asks questions, another may have the same exact question, but the answer may be different person to person. Our energy hearts go out to all of you. Do you have questions?
Well, while we were preambling this call, I had made a certain amount of my observations about how it works. And I just thought maybe you'd just get your confirmation to some of the things I was saying. For example, that the Elohim is a group soul and the Ra group, or both group souls that have multiple participants or members, and you fan out into multiple dimensions. And the Ra...
And multiple departments within.
Multiple what?
Departments and responsibilities.
Multiple departments, right. So when we talk to you, there's an illusion that we are talking to a single conscious entity, but that you come together and that we're really talking to a multiple group of entities simultaneously.
Yes.
That are all in different timelines. And
we'll come together in the same timeline for the call when asked.
Yeah, we'll come together. And then at one point, just recently, I heard the word, it's like a switching station up there, where we'll ask...
That is heaven. Heaven is like a train station where people meet, and it is not exactly like that, but people meet, and then they're helped or assisted, and then they get to choose where they wish to go, if they wish to go after that.
You're talking about in your realms, correct?
In the heaven realm, which is not exactly our realm.
Well, this is beyond. This is higher than the heaven realm, right?
Yes.
You know, we're talking, there's a switching. I'm trying to get it so people can visualize it. There is a switching station or a focal point, a one point, and then all of these beings from the Elohim group and some from the Ra group arrive at that focal point to be here.
Well, we wouldn't call it arrive. We're just there. We can be there or not.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you're focusing on that one area that
comes to
us, okay?
Yes.
It's not like you're traveling there because you're multidimensional. No. You're a multidimensional group.
We're there or not.
Yeah, but you're choosing to be there because you decided that this is important and that it's a place to manifest through, okay? So, to bring information or to help, okay?
Yes, and but then, we can be anywhere. We don't have to be a particular place.
And then, as we're talking, there's all these people listening. There's people listening on the internet, and there's people listening on the phone line. when I say all, not a huge amount, but a small amount compared to the population, a very small amount compared to, you know, the population of the planet. But
and
not,
we love you.
Thank you. And we love you, too. But while we're communicating to you, you have the ability to scan the people that are listening.
Yes.
And is there a separate group of you that does that scanning? Or is
we are one. You're one or we are not one. It depends on what is needed.
So on the call, you come together and are one. You're acting as one group.
Yes.
Okay?
But we are multidimensional, so we can... We're non-linear, so we can be with each and every one at the same time.
Yeah. And that's because time is different there.
We don't know how to think of time. Time is irrelevant.
Mm-hmm. So you're always there. And
if we want to be.
If you want to be, because you have free will just as well.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And that, I think this is a very good topic because it gives people an idea of how they access you.
We are there. If they talk to us, we see their light, depending upon their intention, how strong is their intention. And we listen.
Okay. So, if we are talking about the Ra group, and part of you is the Ra group.
Yes.
The Ra group also has the ability to come into people's spaces, right?
Yes.
But it's in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, when the Ra group was coming into, there was a thing where they said, we have a team, we can surround you, and we give you more of us depending on your predisposition to service. Something like that, you know?
They are of a service, then they intersect more with us.
Yeah. So, when we do whole planet healing, and of course that's really the essence of that call is service to the planet, right?
Yes.
And when we do that, I sometimes visualize people being surrounded by the Ra group. And that I've seen pictures where when the Ra group comes close to 3D, they look like orbs. In other words, the orb holds the consciousness.
They can.
That's not the only way.
Yes.
Okay. Why would a Ra group or any being come through as an orb? And what? Give me an example of another way that a Ra group would come into this realm.
To come through with a light body as a that has the ability to move into an orb, or to take form, different forms, to form in the image of a person.
So the Ra group can take a form and look visible to us.
Yes.
As was described in that session we did, where one of the beings came in who supposedly did a manifestation in Egypt. Yes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Has that happened at other times besides Egypt? That you would like to share with us? It's okay to hear.
Yes. It has happened at other times when it was deemed appropriate.
When it was what? Deemed appropriate.
Yes. For instance, to enter as a guide and to be with someone as a guide and to help them at times of needed assistance.
Mm-hmm. But would that, would the Ra group enter in a way that the person felt them inside themselves, or enter where they were visual, or both?
They can enter as a voice, or enter as a multidimensional presence. They can change form if they wish to give the best service.
If they come in as a form, could they lift something up? I mean, can they actually do something in 3D? Or are they just a visual form? And are they only visible to the person? Like if somebody else walked in the room, would they not see them?
They may not be visible to the person, or they may be visible to others that walk in who have that capability, or they may not be visible.
Mm-hmm.
Can they lift something up? It is possible under certain circumstances they can. The same as a ghost can sometimes hold the door shut, or can exert knocks on the door, or can lift tables, or do various phenomena.
So according to the both the Edgar Cayce readings and the Ra material readings, the pyramids were built by levitation.
Yes.
There was more to that than the Ra group just lifting rocks. There
yes.
was something said, there was a sound. There must be a whole incredible technology.
Yes.
I use the word technology. It's not like abracadabra.
It is directing energy in ways that affect the manifest.
Yes, and I believe, I can't remember now. It was something said there was sound used.
Yes. There's certain vibrations help to fortify the lifting capacity.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And is it precise sound frequencies? Like
yes.
if people were there and they watched the process.
Yes, it depends on what is being lifted.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to resonate it and to
mm-hmm.
place a platform underneath it of lifting power ability.
So if somebody was present while that was taking place, would they hear the sound?
It could possibly be heard, or depending upon the materials being lifted, it may be out of the hearing range of the people.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've seen YouTubes of people who are levitating objects. What's it called? Kinesthetics? Uri Geller might have been able to do that. He certainly could. There were demonstrations where people put broken watches on their TV sets and watched Uri Geller, and the watches repaired themselves. Many, many different kinds of manifestations.
A process of taking the time period back to where the watch worked and to resetting the time period to where it worked.
When you talk about resetting the time of the watch back,
it didn't change the time of the watch, but just reset the operation of the watch to a time when it worked.
How about a healing with a person? Does that work in a similar manner, where the time is reset in the person?
Yes.
For example,
Jesus used that so that one could move into the time when the sore would be healed and in the future. And it was a heal faster.
If it is okay to not violate Kimberly's process, and she's working with a team, is that part of the way that they operate?
We do not wish to go into the way Kimberly operates and her team. This is her team, and this is their process. It does change somewhat depending upon what the person needs.
Okay. Let me ask a general question. You mentioned Jesus.
Yes.
With healers in general, I would guess that this is a common way that healings take place.
It is one of the ways.
One of the ways. Okay.
Yes.
What are some of the other ways?
Since everything is in the now, and it is merely being in the moment of creation, and to move to the creation, eliminate the strands, the strings that have been set up for the manifestation of the illness, to remove those and to reset them in present time.
When humans do this, are able to help another person, the other person has to participate in some level on the
They have to be open to it.
Open to the idea of it, yes?
Yeah, vulnerable to it, yes. To be open to the process. Some are so convinced that the manifestation can't be changed without a lot of work and effort, that then it is harder to work with them.
I see. So when that happens for someone, they also had aspects of themselves that were creating the dysfunction.
Well,
so,
yes, sometimes the person can block energy. For instance, if a person is not totally truthful and has to withhold some of the things that they might have said, because that would not be acceptable, then they place a blockage on their throat chakra, their heart chakra, and the way to give and take energy in the energy chakra, the control, and even in the how they are grounded in the foundation chakra. And this makes a tremendous detuning of all the chakras, and they cannot envision things because they are blocking seeing certain things so that they will be consistent. And their energy cannot then be shared openly with the manifest universe. And then it can, since it is not giving and receiving proper energy in some area, like in the throat chakra, then their thyroid doesn't get as much energy as it could, and their thymus doesn't get as much energy as it could. And then their whole body begins to be skewed as to how it processes energy, and then they get sicknesses.
So if a person wants a healing, it would be good for them to, first of all, clean up their act, not do anything dishonest or unethical.
Which would be very hard if someone is trying to be consistent with with some way they did not feel.
And another thing is, if they are striving to do good works,
yes,
to help other people,
yes,
even when they are, say, in certain disease modes, they start building up their self-worth, which
that
allows...
That will be helpful. That will be helpful, yes.
Allows the receptivity
yes.
to these energies. Yes?
Yes, yes.
And then...
They begin to build a new image.
Yes. So, there's a lot more to miraculous healings than meet the eye, I would say.
Well, to remove unwanted, unnecessary impedances to the healing would be the biggest part of that.
When the Ra group did their manifestation in Egypt, where they were, as I understand it, doing a lot of healings. As I recall in the Edgar Cayce readings, there were a number of people that were, and I imagine this was because of Anunnaki experiments, that were half human and half animal. You know, we have legends of things like centaurs and mermaids and
yes.
other things. You know, very horrific. Well, maybe they weren't horrific, I don't know. But unusual. This was the result of genetic experiments, yes?
Yes.
And the Ra group was trying to repair these things.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
And how could they repair a genetic experiment that was in the DNA?
It's the result was in manifest body that did not work. It will simply not go forward.
Mm-hmm. So did the Ra group change the DNA so the person would change their form?
Usually the body would be isolated out and the person given, if it could not be corrected by surgery, would be given the best life possible and not allowed to procreate.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if that person procreated, they would create more of the same, yes?
Or different monstrosity forms.
Mm-hmm. Was that just done like a scientific experiment to see what could be done?
Yes.
And there were other times in the development of humans where there have been attempts to create not necessarily hybrids with animals, but to create a more perfect human. For example, with Hitler, there was the idea of creating the perfect master race, okay? And underlying...
It went beyond beauty, or beauty of form, and it went into the potential of having hearing increased, or vision increased, or the senses heightened or lessened. There were many experiments.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know what? It's 6:58, and we're supposed to be off the air right now. So is there anything you'd like to say to close this session?
We assist where we can, and if you have requests, please just let us know. Just talk them into the air, and with the force of your intention, they will be known.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much. And thank you, Terry, for coming through this. And I want to ask that we just have Terry have a complete healing for wherever she is out of balance physically. And anyone else on this call, there were some keys here. And I hope you'll take them up and work on fixing yourself. Okay? And on that note, we're going to go over to Whole Planet Healing.
All callers are unmuted.
And I just unmuted everybody. We will see you in a moment.
Thank you from Seattle.
Thank you, Terry. We love you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Lynn and Terry.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.